Okay, as we continue with the second hour of the broadcast, listeners, let me complete this about this job disappearance of America, and then I'll bring up my guest. They say NAFTA and GATT removed our last line of defense against unfair foreign competition by manufacturers who now use cheap labor, equal manufacturing technology, and even our own raw materials to compete with American manufacturers in a so-called free market. NAFTA-GATT were international treaties requiring a two-thirds Senate approval, votes they didn't have, so they just passed them on regular legislation. Incredibly, when American labor unions challenged the passage of NAFTA and GATT as unconstitutional, the Supreme Court let them stand. So what I want you to understand here is that all legal means of ridding ourselves of those treasonous acts have been exhausted. Our elected representatives show no signs of wanting to end our participation in NAFTA and in GATT. Therefore, nothing short of a bloody and violent revolution to take this government back will have any chance of stopping our economic nosedive. This slide will not, and indeed cannot, end until our wages and our standard of living have equalized that of the rest of the world. He goes on to state, Ross Perot held the public forum during his presidential campaign and screamed from the rooftops that if NAFTA and GATT were passed, we'd hear this giant sucking sound of American manufacturing jobs going to other nations. And remember that, he asked. He was outshouted by the truth-impaired radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh, who assured us all that NAFTA-GATT were a good thing for America and would enable American consumers to buy manufactured and other goods at substantially lower prices. And we've all noticed that, haven't we? When it comes to basic math and economics, Rush Limbaugh is definitely not the guy to ask. You have to have a job to buy manufactured goods and foodstuffs, no matter what the price, right? And if American manufacturers close their plants in America and start manufacturing in China and elsewhere, as they had to do in order to stay competitive and viable, doesn't that mean those high-paying American manufacturing jobs are now held by slave laborers in China? Is this treason starting to sink in yet? You don't seem to care when you had a job, right? Well, I'll bet you do now. Oh, and what about those lowered prices for foreign-made goods we were promised a la Limbaugh? Seen any lately? No? And why? Because the formerly American and foreign manufacturers now in China and Taiwan didn't have to lower them. All they had to do was lower their price a buck or two under what the American manufacturers had to sell the same product for here. You see, it doesn't matter that it only cost them pennies on the dollar to make the same item an American manufacturer does. They have no obligation whatsoever to pass these savings on to you and me if they don't have to, and under NAFTA-GATT they don't. The whole idea is to make the highest possible profit while remaining competitive, right? Well, if that's the case, then prices won't drop until Americans have lost so many family wage-paying jobs that they simply cannot afford to pay the higher prices anymore. I wish I could end this article with a ray of hope for our economy, but I cannot. If we were to have free trade with other nations, then the inevitable result will have to be our parity in living standards with the rest of the global community. And because we have a comparative high standard of living, it narrowly follows in the outstandard of living will have to decline. This Math 101, and there's no way around it. There's a little bit more to this. He just read an interesting Associated Press article, and it's on MSNBC. If you have been paying attention to this mess, you'll recall that President Bush slapped a 30% tariff on foreign steel imports to the United States. At the same time he did it, I couldn't figure out where NAFTA and GATT allowed him to do that. But if they did, why don't we just slap tariffs on all imported goods to protect our remaining domestic manufacturers who are too stupid to close up and move to China? Well, I just got the answer. The World Trade Organizations, whose rules we agreed to abide by under the NAFTA-GATT, just ruled Bush's tariff violates global trade rules. If the American appeal fails, we taxpayers will pay a stiff fine and thousands more American steel manufacturing jobs will be lost. Would you like to hear some good news? I thought so. Here it goes. I just read somewhere that China was being lauded for having reduced its poverty level by more than half. I wonder how they did it and where they got the money. This is by Carl Warden, people. Sent to me. Very interesting. Most of you understand this. It can be accessed on newsnation.org. That's newsnation.org. And now we will bring up Ira. Ira from Moffat County in Oklahoma, in Colorado, is that correct?
It's Sawatch County.
Uh-huh.
Sawatch County, Colorado. And the town, my home address is in Moffat, Colorado.
Okay, now, how long have you been a resident of Moffat?
Since 1981.
Okay, and have you been any kind of a participant in your local government at all, or?
Well, yeah, I've been active in a lot of things around here in Vista, and meeting with the county commissioners. As a matter of fact, in this thing that got you and I together, Chris, was I visited every county in the valley here. It's five counties, and met with the county commissioners in each one of them, trying to convince them of all of this, but they didn't seem to want to listen.
And what were you trying to convince them of? What is the problem, in your opinion?
About all of this land grab business there is going on around here.
And what are the reasonings for the land grabs?
Well, it's all of this, see, this valley here is, surrounded by, mountains.
Scenic mountains?
Yeah, real scenic mountains, beautiful place.
Uh-huh.
And, about 10 or 15 years ago, I don't, know exact date.
Uh-huh.
Maurice Strong came in here and bought what's known as the Baca Ranch. And this thing dates all the way back to the 1600s sometimes. They were in the old Spanish land grant things. And he bought this ranch. And, of course, everybody at that time, you know, they thought he was just some guy that was wanting to buy a ranch. And this was a very historical place, so he bought it. But it turns out there's more to it than that. Because Maurice Strong is he's the chief advisor to Kofi Annan. And the whole background, the whole idea has proven to be that what they intend to do, or what they plan on, is to take this whole valley and turn it into a United Nations Biosphere Reserve and a wildlife preserve here.
Uh-huh.
And it's all... It ties in with this local Agenda 21 thing. And
I've never heard of that before. What's that about?
What, this local Agenda 21?
Yeah.
Oh, that's the same agenda, the Agenda 21 that the United Nations has. And what it is, you know, the whole thing, and you understand it is the agenda for the United Nations of what they plan to accomplish in the 21st century. And this Agenda 21 is this local Agenda 21. It applies to the local areas, and just like Sawatch County here, for instance, is there's 3,200 square miles in Sawatch County. It's the largest county in this valley, area-wise, but the smallest population-wise. There's less than 6,000 people that lives in Sawatch County.
Uh-huh.
Over 3,200 square miles. And, so they're focusing on this one because there's, hardly enough people here, when you, kind of cancel out the ones that are not going to even attempt it anyway, to battle these people. And, they get this county, under the United Nations rule, and that's what the whole plan is about. And they get this one, and then it's only just a matter of time until they spread out to get the other five counties and get the whole, I guess in the San Luis Valley, there's Somebody says something like 100,000 square miles here in this valley.
Are the residents living on these on this land?
Oh, yeah, there's people all over. This is a big agricultural area here. This whole valley is cattle ranches and vegetable farms. And chances are, if you go to a supermarket just about anywhere in the country and get about 10 pounds of potatoes, chances are they came from the San Luis Valley.
I see.
And it's a big agricultural area, and supplies a lot of the food that people eat all over this country. And if they turn this thing into this biosphere reserve thing, and if they accomplish this, why, the food supply is going to diminish it in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to be depending on the imports for everything we eat or whatever, because we have three major NGOs and non-government organizations operating here in the valley now. That's Nature Conservancy and the Sierra Club and the Audubon Society. Those three are operating here, and they're all based in Crestone. That's where Maurice Strong has his headquarters.
Is that in Colorado?
Yeah, that's just about 20 miles from my house here.
I see.
And Hannah Strong, that's Maurice's wife, or was his wife. I think she's separated now. But anyhow, they have this cult outfit going out there. It's called, in Crestone, it's called the Temple of Gaia, and they've got a temple built to this, and Gaia, that was the Babylonian sun god, and they're all earth worshipers, they're nature worshipers, and that's one reason why they want this valley to turn it into this biosphere reserve, or the, right now we've even got word that any of us that has planted a lawn, for instance, in our yard and used, say, Kentucky bluegrass, they're trying to stop us from cultivating this, of keeping it going here. And because
they want to go ahead.
It's not. See, the Kentucky bluegrass, for instance, is not natural to this valley.
I see.
And what they're trying to do is turn it back into what it was, say, 100,000 years ago or something like this.
Uh-huh.
And that's just a figure of speech there. And I have some computer images here that were pictures that were taken of this valley from, some of them say about 400 miles out in space. And according to the NGOs, these nature worshipers and all of these people, these pictures show this valley the way it should have been, way it was, way back before anybody ever got in here, I guess that's it.
Uh-huh.
And so it's they're really working strong around here, and they've just about got all of the politicians. As a matter of fact, I have a letter here from Senator Wayne Allard, that I wrote to him about this thing, and I wrote to some other politicians in Washington about it.
Uh-huh.
But if it's okay, I'd like to read this letter here. It's just a short one.
Please, go right ahead.
It says, in the United States, the Interior Department is responsible for directing and coordinating U.S. participation in the World Heritage Convention. The department implements its responsibilities under the convention in accordance with a statutory mandate contained in Title IV of the National Historic Preservation Act, Amendments of 1980, Publication L-96-515. I supported a bill during the last session of Congress called the American Land Sovereignty Protection Act. As you probably know, the U.S. is part of a treaty that created the World Heritage Site Program, which is implemented by domestic law. This bill proposed to change the law to create a process under which the U.S. may designate lands for inclusion under certain international agreements. This would have assured that the Congress is consulted in the process of designating World Heritage Sites and Biosphere Reserves and prevented attempts by the executive branch to use international land designations to bypass the Congress in making land use decisions. But that's all a bunch of hogwash there, because that's proven not to be true, because they're still moving forward with this. That Nature's Conservancy is buying up every acre of land they can here in this valley, and that Audubon Society there got a big thing going here, and I don't know just exactly what their part in it is, but then the Sierra Club also is working hand in hand with Nature Conservancy to get this thing through. And it's also what they call a closed base, I'll get it right in a minute, closed basin water system here. It's
a closed basin water system?
A closed basin water, yeah.
Uh-huh.
And what that means is that there's no outlets for the water coming down out of the mountains, and it's just goes into the ground here in the valley.
Mm-hmm.
And so 5 years ago or something like that, there was an article in the newspaper that there was enough water under this valley here to last at the present usage, that it would last something like 100 years or more without adding any at all to it. But since then, they built a canal, and they're pumping a lot of water out of here. And during all of this drought that we've had for the last 5 or 6 years, they've limited the people here in the valley to the use of the water, but they haven't stopped that canal. They haven't slowed it down at all. It's just still running full, and has ever since this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
And Maurice Strong is figuring into this thing. And we also have one of the native sons here in the valley that he went to college in someplace, and he met a lady that her family happens to be the owners of the Farragon Corporation out in the... And when Maurice Strong left the valley, he said that he had sold this ranch to Gary Boyce. This is the guy I'm talking about right now.
Uh-huh.
But it turns out that he actually sold it to the Farragon Corporation, and or at least they got an interest in it somewhere or other. And Gary Boyce's wife is an heir to the Farragon Corporation, so she figures in this, and she's hand in hand with Hannah Strong out there, and that guy worship thing, that earth worship thing that they got going out there. And in Crestone, there's just about every religious cult there is the world knows anything about and operating out there, because they welcome these people. They take them in because, you know, they work on the local people here and pull them into this all of this mess, or try to.
How do you think they're getting the local involved in this and accepting it? How are they? How do you think this is being accomplished?
Well, part of it is going through the local politicians. The NGOs are working through the local politicians, and they've got this. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard of this 2477 bill that they was passed back in the 1880s sometime. I think that. Any roads that were opened into these mountains, they couldn't close them. They, even just a trail where people were walking on it, it was considered an access, and they couldn't open it due to this 2477 bill that they passed. But in 1972, I believe it was, or 73, they passed another bill that had given the Forest Service control over all of the roads in the valleys here, and they began to close a lot of them. And the people here, the politicians, were going along with them. And if they could close the access to these certain places around here, well, then certainly that's going to put a lot of people out of business. As a matter of fact, they already have closed enough access roads that they've cut people off from their property.
Oh, boy.
That they couldn't even get into it.
How can they get away with that? That's my question.
Well, that's what we're wondering. How did they get away with it? I don't know how they got away with it, but they did. And
have.
Yeah. Now, I went to a commissioner's meeting on this 2477 road thing, and there was a Nature Conservancy lawyer there that was doing a lot of talking, and those commissioners wouldn't allow the local people to say a word.
Really?
And that lawyer got up there, and he beat his gums, Chris, for a good, 35 minutes, according to my timepiece.
Uh-huh.
And was rattling on, and I finally got up and told the chairman of the commission over there, if he didn't shut that guy up, I was going to. Because I was there to say what I wanted to say, and there was other people that was there to say what they wanted to say. But you're favoring this cat up here that happens to be some big-time lawyer and won't allow the local people to say a word. Now, if you shut that guy up, or I'm going to. Well, I got up and started towards that lawyer. And I guess they must have punched a button or something other, because there was two deputy sheriffs come walking in.
Really?
Two cops came walking in and escorted me out of the courthouse and so on.
Escorted you out without having your say.
That's right. Yeah, and they never allowed any of the local people to say anything. And this was the local county commissioners. So the local politicians are working hand in hand with Maurice Strong, Gary Boyce, and Farragon Corporation, and all the rest of them. And they just want to turn this valley into a United Nations Biosphere Reserve. That's the whole bottom line of the whole deal.
Now, the people in this proposed biosphere, they will have to vacate their property?
Oh, yeah. They'll move everybody out. The people that live here, and even the domestic animals, horses, cows, dogs, cats, whatever, they'll have to go.
Really?
Yeah, that's the whole plan.
Mm.
And, of course, there's been places, not here in Sawatch County, but in other counties here, that they've used this eminent domain thing to take people's property. So,
eminent domain?
Yeah. There's really no reason for any eminent domain here, according to the Constitution, the way that it was set up at the beginning. There's really no reason for it, and no explanation for the whole thing. But that's what they're using it, and where they can't get it any other way, well, they use this eminent domain thing to get it. So,
well, you know, as we're being captivated with this war on terrorism, which is keeping everybody captivated in the news, all this land grab is going on, and people like yourself all over the country, we need to hear from them, because this is the truth. This is what's really basically happening, is that...
I'll agree with you.
Yeah.
Now, anybody that cares anything about their homes and their freedoms, they better get busy and... think about this thing and get the word out, because they're using these foreign wars, these things like, well, even Vietnam and even the Korean War. I was in both of those, and they were used for the same purpose, to draw people's attention away from what was happening right here in their own backyard.
Yes.
Yeah.
Good for you for recognizing that.
Yeah. And this Iraq thing and all, and Afghanistan and all of that business, they're using it for the same purpose. And
listen, isn't this Afghanistan and Iraq war just like Vietnam in only one point?
It's exactly the way, they're carrying that thing on just exactly the way that it was carried on in Vietnam.
As you were in that conflict in Korea, you really didn't know who your enemy was, did you? Unless
no.
they wore a uniform.
No, in Vietnam, no. Well, in Korea, too, we didn't know.
Yes.
And in Vietnam, we certainly didn't know who the enemy was or whatever.
Right.
And there was no front lines. Now, I've worked with people all day long in Vietnam.
Uh-huh.
And then we get hit that night, what we call bed check raids, and we'd find this guy amongst the bodies the next day, the next morning. So, and that's what's happening over there. Now, I got a message on my computer tonight where there was some guy in Iraq that he got disillusioned. They sent him home. I think he was an Englishman. He was over in England, seemed like.
Uh-huh.
But anyhow, he's committed suicide because he couldn't live with what he had to put up with in Iraq.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, that's what the message said.
You know, you wonder if it was really suicide or if he was suicided.
Well, I wonder, yeah.
You know, that's the problem that we have today is that we don't know what to believe all the time.
No. Well, we don't. That's right, and we don't know what's going on. I mean, nobody's saying anything, and the politicians are doing pretty much what they want to do. And I've tried to convince people that even the courts, you go to court, chances are that court is not going to follow the law. I don't care how well you know the law. If you go into that court, chances are they're not going to allow it anyway. They're going to make their own.
Yeah.
And that's the way it's been going on for years, and this is the way they're getting around with all of this taking the private property.
Yeah.
And, it's because they get in court, somebody goes to court about it, they'll change the law to fit their agenda.
Yeah, unfortunately, at this point in time, the charter, the U.N. Charter, has become the supreme law of the land.
That's right. That's what it is. And our Constitution doesn't mean a thing anymore, Chris.
Right.
No.
That's the painful part.
That's right. And, when I was sitting in over there as an observer in the courthouse here in Swartz County, and the defendant mentioned the Constitution. And the judge just flat told him to not mention it anymore, that didn't come into the... didn't apply in this particular case or whatever.
So, yeah.
Yeah, well, the Constitution's supposed to be the supreme law of the land.
Yeah, that's correct. Now, listen, we've got to take a break now.
Okay.
Stay with us, Ira. We'll be back in a few moments.
Okay.
We'll be back, listeners. Stay with us.
All righty.
Years ahead of the dominant media, find out first on FirstAmendmentRadio.com, on satellite, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
Can a fish blush? The answer is next on today's Creation Moment. Here's our Creation Moment's host, Ian Taylor.
There are many types of animals which help each other. It's called altruism, even though sometimes one of the animals often eats the other one. Different kinds of animals that help each other pose a serious problem for those who deny an all-wise creator. Evolution has lots of reasons why natural enemies would not cooperate with each other, but consider the example of the yellow-tailed goatfish. The yellow-tailed goatfish is mostly a white fish which swims in small schools. They often cruise around the reefs where the yellow French angelfish live. The angelfish hide from the goatfish and others who might eat them. However, the goatfish are often bothered by parasites which lodge in their scales and gills. And when this happens, the goatfish swim to the reef in which the angelfish live, and they blush a bright red rust color. And when this happens, the angelfish knows that the goatfish has not come for lunch, but he's come to be cleaned. So the angelfish swims out and cleans the goatfish of his uncomfortable and unhealthy parasites. And when the goatfish is clean, he stops blushing and swims off to leave the angelfish in peace. Is it possible that our wise Creator has provided for the needs of his creatures in a way which would provide these unexplained mysteries for those who want to explain things without him? We think so. We think this is one of the ways in which his glory, power, and wisdom is made evident to those who do not want to admit an intelligent creator.
For a printed transcript of today's program, visit our website at creationmoments.com. And be sure to join us next time for another Creation Moment, proclaiming evidence of God's truth.
If you can hear my voice, you are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. If you would like to continue hearing these programs, there are several ways that you can help. One, you can make a donation or subscribe to your favorite program by going to FirstAmendmentRadio.com on the Internet and follow the instructions there. Two, you can sponsor your favorite program with your business advertising dollars or spend your dollars with those businesses that advertise on your favorite programs. Three, simply call in on live programs and tell them that you are listening on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Now anyone can do that one. You can find the call-in numbers on our schedule pages at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. And finally, you can call 559-733-5002 and leave your name and address, and we will send you a support pack. Thank you for listening.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Go to the website AmericanExpose.com. American spelled with a K, not a C, on purpose, obviously, as you connect the dots, listeners. We're with Ira from Moffat, Colorado, and I have something here to pass on to you and the listeners, Ira. Private property becoming an endangered species in King County, Washington State. They say property owners in King County, Washington are fighting mad. Their county government is considering the most restrictive land use law in the nation. It is known as the 65-10 rule. If enacted by landowners, will be required to set aside 65% of their property and keep it in its natural vegetative state. Nothing can be built on this land, and if a tree is cut down, it must be replanted. For example, building any sort is prohibited. Most of the residents that will be directly affected by the 65-10 rule own property in rural areas of the county. They see new regulations as a land grab and a violation of their property rights. Quote, my take is it's stealing, out and out stealing, in quotes, said county resident Marshall Brendan. quote, they're taking 65% of our land, and you fought for years to pay for, paid mortgages on, and now you can't use it, end quote. Environmentalists and supporters say the rights of a larger community to save the ecosystem are more important than personal property rights. Quote, we're trying to keep the rural area a place that isn't just McMansions and ball courts, but instead has those natural processes, end quote, said Tim Tomovich of the group 1,000 Friends of Washington, which aims to promote healthy communities and cities while protecting farmlands and forests. The plan is being pushed by King County Executive Ron Sims, who is currently running for governor. This information has come from something called the Peasants Press, dated August 2004. Now, isn't this interesting? This is a little different than your circumstance, Ira, but it's all the same thing, isn't it?
Yes, it's all the same thing. Now, as we was talking a little bit ago, we have an outfit working here in this valley. I'm trying to find the name of it right now. It's the San Juan the San Juan Citizens Alliance is a small but vocal environmental group, is also demanding that the U.S. Forest Service require an environmental impact statement for the road access, even though one was submitted and approved in 1987 for a major ski area development on the property. Major road development was analyzed in this EIS. The Forest Service decision for this EIS excluded the road because it was deemed a Forest Service public road. What we're talking about here, that this road leads in to a ranch up in the edge of the mountains here, up close to Creed, that is it's under new management. Somebody else bought it, and they turned it into a dude ranch up there.
Okay.
And San Juan Citizens Alliance, through the Forest Service, got their access road closed. They didn't have any access to their property up there.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, and the only way they could get into it was by helicopter.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah, and so it just kind of put the people out of business on that. Of course, this thing is happening all over here just like that. And Wayne Allard, Senator Wayne Allard, and Scott McGinnis, a representative for this district here, they've pushed through a law, or they didn't push it through, it flowed through like water going down mountain. And if they got it passed to turn this Baca Ranch up that we were talking about a while ago into a and join it to the Great Sand Dunes National Monument, which is about 30 miles from my house, and turn this whole thing into a national park. And there'll be something like 150,000 acres of the San Luis Valley that they'll take for that park there. And Nature Conservancy's already bought up just about every bit of that, but the only one they're having problems with was the Baca Ranch, and they found out when they started trying to buy that there was so many people that had a claim to that Baca Ranch, it dated all the way back to, I don't know, somewhere around the 1900s. There was people just coming out of the woodwork that had a claim on it. And so they're having trouble getting a title for that.
I see.
But the last I heard, it was they had appropriated. Scott McGinnis had kind of pushed through a bill to get something like $4 or $5 million. I don't remember the exact figure. Solve this thing, the problems here, to get this Baca Ranch in government hands so they could turn that whole thing out there into a national park.
Uh-huh.
And they're already talking about a buffer zone around this park.
Oh, yes.
That will cover about another 20 miles out from that, which would take in just about every town between here and Alamosa, which is 50 miles south of me here.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, it would move everybody out of there. And
So you must be familiar with the Biodiversity Treaty and the areas where they want to plant people and relocate people and things like
that. Oh, yeah, they're talking about these human habitat things.
Yes.
And I happen to know that those are already being built, that there's these, what it'll be is this, these condominium type things.
Uh-huh.
That they're supposed to be moving all the people into. And all of this human habitats will be east of the Mississippi River. And this whole western end of the United States is from the Mississippi River west is supposed to be an international park. And with nobody living here. And that's a lot of people to move out, but I'm afraid they got methods that will force them out, you know.
Well, they've got fires going on in Redding, California right now. And the UN, and I don't know whether you know this or not, but the UN has the Global Fire Monitoring Center.
Mm-hmm.
And they monitor all the fires in the world, and this allows them to relocate populations after their places are burned down.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the reason I think there's a lot of these fires, it's deliberate, Chris.
Gotta be.
They're not all accidental, and we've been having too many of them here for the last 4 or 5 years. Now, this whole thing, you know, was supposed to been to climax in 2000. That was supposed to when it was supposed to been finished and done. But there were some things that happened. For one thing, Dianne Feinstein and Charles Schumer and a few others up there in Washington failed to get their gun control laws and confiscate all of our weapons.
That's right.
And so that's what kept it from climaxing. That's what kept it from finalizing in the year 2000, 4 years ago.
Uh-huh.
But now they've got it all planned to be finalized in 2005. That's next year.
Uh-huh.
And I have a feeling, I can't prove this one, but I'm going to mention it anyway. I have a feeling that John Curry figures into this one very prominently.
I was just going to say that.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that because I think Kerry's going to be the one that's going to be carrying the next 4 years.
I think that the CFR, the Council on Foreign Relations, has already got him picked.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he's going too strong here. And
he's a strong advocate of pro-abortion. He's a strong advocate of gun control.
That's right.
Or actually gun confiscation.
Yeah, that's what it would amount to.
That's right. And this is the point. You've got the lesser of two evils in Bush, and I'm sorry. But I used to harp on third parties. But at this late date, at this strategic time, you got to vote for Bush.
Well, I'm advising people around here, and I'm encouraging them to, if they can't think of a candidate, if there's no candidate on the ballot that they can vote for, to write in one, somebody. Because the two that's running, like you said, George Bush is a lesser of two evils.
Yeah.
But it don't matter if it's, even if it is less, it's still evil, you know. You can't.
I'm just so sorry that this agenda is so far along, but it is 2004. And they've got to get this thing implemented through the UN system, and the State Department's implementing it through the EPA and all its other little agencies. But the land takeaways are being implemented by the almighty dollar.
Yep.
And
it sure is. That's what they're using there. And, most of the farmers here in this valley, they've been here for 10, 12 generations. I mean, these farms have been in the same family for that long.
I can understand.
Yeah. And, but now they're going out and they're offering these people such ridiculous prices for their property. And
high prices?
Yeah, high prices.
They're giving them the opportunity to leave at a high price.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right. And, of course, they're offering to relocate them someplace, too, you know. You know, this ties right in with that human habitat business that we were just talking about there.
Yes.
So it's all a put-up deal, and I think the whole thing, and that's the reason why they're not protecting our southern border down there and won't do it, is because it all ties in with this United Nations thing.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
Without a doubt. The implementation of human rights treaties and on December 10th, 1998, that Executive Order 13107 by Clinton.
Yep.
The 50th anniversary of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, fully underway, and this is what allows the police not to ask whether you're legal or not when they pull somebody over.
Yeah.
And it's just one thing after another. Our hands are tied because of the UN system.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Yeah, the only way to even correct this thing, as far as I can see at the moment, is to get rid of that United Nations.
Yeah.
That's the first step.
That's the only first step you can make.
That's right.
And Ron Paul introduced H.R. 1146 years ago, and it doesn't go anywhere. That's out of the United Nations, H.R. 1146.
Yeah.
And it doesn't go anywhere.
They've had these bills there time and time again, trying to get rid of the United Nations, but none of them ever pass. They never get no place. Most of them, a lot of them, have never, don't ever even reach the floor of the Congress.
Yeah.
They get, die in committee, you know, that thing.
Uh-huh.
Now, I'm Air Force retired.
Okay.
And I was, assigned to the Pentagon for 9 years in and out of that place up there.
Uh-huh.
And, so I'm pretty well familiar for that period of time, what goes on up there. And what I found out so far is not pretty, believe me. I mean, it doesn't be a bad good for any of us, the private citizens of this country. And if the people don't wake up and do something about this thing, it's going to be accomplished. They're going to...
Have you ever been on a talk show before?
No, this is the first time.
Okay, now, you're willing to go on other shows?
I beg your pardon?
Are you willing to go on other shows and talk about this?
Yeah, sure.
How can people get a hold of you to bring you on other shows? Do you have a website, an email address? Or?
I have an email address.
Let's have that email address.
Oh, that's Willie, all small letters, W-I-L-L-Y, at amigo.net.
Okay. That's Willie, W-I-L-L-Y, at mm-hmm. amigo.net.
Right.
And this is for Ira. And this is very, very important. This gentleman needs to be on other shows. This is just the beginning, I hope.
Well, I hope so, too. I've been trying to find an outlet for this thing for years.
Oh.
And I've been studying about this thing, I guess, a good 50 years.
Have you really?
Yeah. I mean, because that's when I first got... connected with this. I was picked up and sent to Korea just on the orders of the president, and that shouldn't have ever happened.
Now, I've had experiences with other people telling me this. When you're on the boat to go to Korea, you see the UN flag.
Yeah, the UN flag was there, absolutely.
Did that boggle your mind when you saw that UN flag?
Well, I wondered what it was. I didn't even know what it was at that time.
Uh-huh.
I was just a young staff sergeant there that I'd heard about the United Nations, but I never had got knowledge enough of it to even know what that United Nations flag meant or what it was all about.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, having done a hitch in the Navy during the World War II, I thought maybe it was some kind of an insignia for the ship or something. It didn't even occur to me that it was an international flag of some sort.
Yeah, a global government system.
Yeah,
and see, that's the setup that's been in place. And you know, people get upset with me for being so depressed sometimes, and I'm sitting there thinking, well, gee, why wouldn't anybody be depressed if you really know the truth? The fact of the matter is that 54,000 plus 8,000 POWs never returned from from Korea.
That's right.
And that was in a period of 2.5 years, wasn't it?
Just about that, yeah.
And then we go through this 10-year Vietnam fiasco, which was under the CETO agreement, the CETO Treaty, Southeast Asia Treaty Organization.
That's right, and there was about 26,000 of us that didn't come back from over there.
Yeah.
Yeah, that missing in action, still there, still somewhere.
And the point is, here we're doing more of this now, and yet, in the meantime, our land's being locked up in America.
That's right. They've taken America away from us while all the people here has got their minds on places like Iraq and Afghanistan that are living back in the 16th century anyway, all of those people there.
Yes.
And they don't mean anything because Iraq couldn't have been any threat to us. There's just nothing there.
Right.
And there was no threat there for us, but now we're involved over there, and people's got their mind set so much on that.
Yes.
And what people are not looking at is the fact that those airplanes that flew into that World Trade Center up there, they were not flown by Iraqis, they were flown by Saudi Arabians.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, and so... To me, we're just in the wrong places there, Chris.
Yes. I do know that this 9/11 scenario was another Pearl Harbor.
That's it. That's what it was, yeah.
And we'll never get to the bottom of how it was all done.
Now, did you watch that TV program the day that happened? I'm wondering, how in the world did that person with that video camera, how did it happen to be there exactly at the right time with that camera aimed at the exact right place up there?
Yeah.
And how come that building came straight down?
Yes.
How come it wasn't scattered all over the place, but all it did was fill up the basement of that building?
Yeah, and obviously when you look at the films, the charges were going off on the corners.
That's right.
There you have it. Another created scenario to bring more suppression, the Office of Homeland Security into place, and the police state further into our homes.
And that's what it was all about right there. So, and it's working. People are buying it. And
are you having any feedback about the knowledge that you have going to other people?
Well, I haven't had too much. I've written... had some kickback from the newspapers at one time, and all of a sudden they just up and quit. I was writing articles for 26 newspapers around over the country.
Wow.
And but all of a sudden, all of them but three just up and quit and just sent me a letter and said they couldn't do it anymore.
Well, and the pressure was put on them to drop you.
Yeah. That's right. That's what it was.
Now you are a wealth of knowledge. You've never been on a talk show before tonight, and this is the point, listeners. This gentleman needs to be on other shows. This is not my responsibility. This is your responsibility to spread this information. His email address, once again, is Willie, W-I-L-L-Y, at amigo.net, and you can reach him that way. And let's get him on these other shows. And let's have Ira throughout the country espousing what's going on in Moffat, Colorado, because it's going on in your part of the country, wherever you are. And this is the point in the problem, correct?
Yes, that's correct. That's the whole bottom line.
This sustainable development pattern continues to be influential throughout the country, and this is why last week I was harping on this Global Vision Corporation, which is an independent, non-profit, non-governmental organization accredited to the United Nations Commission on Sustainable Development, a network of 53 governments and over 700 NGOs collaborating to implement Agenda 21. The International Action Plan for the Sustainable Development of Our Planet, which was agreed by, well, the 185 Nations of the Earth Summit in Rio in 92. This is the thing. This is big. And the only way we can stop it is to increase our numbers to the point where we have our city council meetings and they're not going to say you can't say what you're going to say. It's like when they escorted you out of the meeting. We've got to get enough people in there so they won't want to feel intimidated to do that to you.
Yeah. And that's the whole bottom line. I've been looking for an outlet for a good long while just to, for the past year and a half at least, since they did that, to get in a position to so I could put this word out without being intimidating, you know.
Well, I'm certainly glad that somebody connected you to me. And I'm hoping and praying that you get on other shows. With the amount of people listening, that can be done. But you've got to get active listeners, and because our numbers compared to what the numbers need to be are very, very small.
Yeah.
To get you on other directions, other shows, to explain what's happening in your part of the country is the most important thing that you can do. It's just it's more important than breathing almost.
Well, yeah. I mean, because if you don't get the word out and get something done about it, you're not going to be breathing anyway. So that's the whole bottom line. They keep yelling freedom, but how free do you feel right now, Chris? When you think about the situation, the world situation.
I feel very upset and depressed, and I do this for our country, and I always have done it for our country for 8 years. I quit at one time, and people begged me to come back, so I'm back.
Yeah, well, now, this is the reason why I've been battling this thing for close to 50 years. I oppose that, not particularly the war, but I opposed the fact that we were sent there unconstitutionally to Korea.
Yes.
And I let them know that I didn't like it, that I was opposed to it, and I was opposed to Vietnam. I was already in the military, so I got my orders and I went the way that I was supposed to, but I didn't go willingly. I was sent.
Sure.
And just like the guys are being sent to Iraq right now and Afghanistan and all these other places.
It's terrible.
Yeah, it is. And
this is the 1 year anniversary of me coming back to the air, the 16th of August. Isn't that amazing? Because I quit for a year and a half out of frustration. The kind of frustration that you felt in your life and being put on later and later at night so less and less people were listening. But we're out of time now. Ira, I appreciate you being with us, and I want to know I will be notified if you get on other shows, and I'm going to stay in contact with you, Ira.
All righty, and I thank you for having me on your show there, Chris.
My privilege.
Appreciate it a bunch.
Certainly my privilege.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ira.
Thank you.
Good night now.
Bye-bye.
And listeners, thank you for being with us tonight. Very important second hour. By all means, spread the word on Ira. Willie@amigo.net. That's Willie@amigo.net. Until tomorrow night, God bless you. And all of us, pray for this restoration of a republic.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional